Pastor Steve. All right, let's turn our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 10. Last week we wrapped up chapter 9 of Proverbs. And the first nine chapters, we saw the introduction of the book, we saw the motto or the theme of the book, as well as a fatherly talk to press home the fateful choice between wisdom and folly. And so in the first nine chapters, there's a storyline, in a sense, to follow. There's a context to follow. Well, you hit chapter 10 through chapter 22:16, and there's these short, pithy sayings, these aphorisms that teach a truth. Now, they're scattered throughout, and so they're not grouped into themes or titles. You might have a saying about laziness, and then the next couple verses would be on another topic. So it's a little bit harder to preach through verse by verse unless I read a verse, explain what it says, go on to a separate topic. So a common approach to go through Proverbs 10:1 through 22:16 is to take topics throughout the book of Proverbs. And so that's what I'm going to do. We're going to group these Proverbs into several topics just to give you an idea of different subjects in Proverbs that we'll touch on. The word sluggard or laziness, you see that in 17 different times in Proverbs. Anger, wrath, hatred, that shows up 28 times in Proverbs. Friendships and alliances, 28 times. Words, controlling our mouth, our tongue, our lips, lying, over 200 times in the book of Proverbs that you see this subject come up. Family, parenting, discipline, chastening. The word father shows up 26 times. The word mother, 14 times. Son, daughter, or child, 54 times. And so Proverbs deals with families and how to raise your children, how to nurture your children. Integrity and patience, 15 times. The word life shows up 38 times. The word death, 18 times. Righteous, 76 times, and the word wicked, 89 times. So you can have, there's these different themes in Proverbs that we'll touch on as we walk through. Those are some of the topics that are addressed in these aphorisms. But there's another one that I want to start with today as we plunge into this section. So God's sovereignty, this will be theme one that we look at in Proverbs, chapter 10, through 22, verse 16. So let's pray, and then we'll dig into the subject, the topic of God's sovereignty in Proverbs. Lord, thank you for this time again. Pray for wisdom as we look at this topic. Pray that we would apply it to our lives so we can know you better, that we would have a better knowledge of you and apply it to our life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we look at this, go to chapter 10, verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon. So Solomon, chapter 10, 1 through 22:16 is largely written by Solomon. A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. And then we go back to chapter 9. I want you to look at verse 10. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." And so, as we look at this, a wise son is one who fears the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A wise son is one who fears the Lord. Now, what does that word fear mean? Is that someone who is, and they're shaking in their boots? They're scared to death of God? Now, there is a healthy fear of God. But what this means is that there is a reverence for God. There's a deep respect for God. A wise son has a deep respect for God. Now, what is that based on? That is based on a relationship with God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And if you remember back to our first study in Proverbs, that is the vertical plane on which everything rests. You can't have a proper respect for God unless you know God personally. And how do you come to know God personally? It's through faith in Jesus Christ. It's having a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. That's where it starts. Apart from that, you can't have a right relationship with God. According to God's Word, if you haven't put your faith in Christ, you are under God's wrath. You're a child of wrath. And so it starts right here, is a relationship with God. A wise son has reverence for God, which is based on a relationship with God and expressed through submission to God. Is it? And we have this right here, and the graduates, you just received this, but I mention wearing it out because if you own a Bible, if I own a Bible and I put my head on it and sleep on it, is that going to do me any good? What do I need to do? I got to read it and I got to apply it. I have to apply what I've learned. And so it's reverence for God, a high respect for God, which is based on a relationship with God, expressed through submission to God, and therefore what? It brings glory to God. When I read God's Word, I study God's Word, and I apply it to my life, that brings glory to God. When I'm obedient to His Word, that is a wise son. Proverbs chapter 1, in our first introduction to the book, what's the purpose of this book? To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. And not just to know and to perceive, but to receive the instruction of wisdom. And so I need to apply this to my life. And this brings glory to God. To live it out. So a wise son hears the Word of God, applies the Word of God. He's a doer of the Word and not a hearer only. He submits to God, and therefore he glorifies God. It's not just mere morality. There's a lot of... There's moral people in this world that cannot please God because they don't have a relationship with God. Does that make sense? There's a lot of people that are striving to do what's right, and maybe they're morally good people, but it's all for the wrong reason. It's for their own boasting and not for God's glory. And so they cannot please God. They don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. So a wise son is one who fears the Lord, and this kind of son is the kind of son that makes a father glad. Think about this. The choices a child makes will bring either joy or sorrow to a parent. Can any parents here attest to that? I can remember back, I was about 10 years old. I was on the youngest of five. And my oldest sibling's 8 years older than me. So it's 8 years older, 7 years older, 4 years older, 2 years older. I was 10 years old. And I remember one of my older siblings... I saw my dad with tears rolling down his cheeks, grieving for the choices that a child made. The sorrow. And I, at 10 years old, I saw that, and I purposed in my heart, I said, I never want to make my dad cry. Unfortunately, I did. Because I did not follow the instructions of God's Word, and I didn't submit to God's Word, and I did not make my father glad. I wasn't a wise son. And so a wise son makes a father glad. Proverbs 9:10 again, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. How do we gain knowledge of the Holy One? You with me? His Word. Now, I think I mentioned if there's no flies in the lights, so you don't. If I put you to sleep, you won't see flies in the lights. So it got cleaned out, but stick with me. How do you gain knowledge of the Holy One? And we do that through the Word, right? Reading the Word, studying the Word, applying the Word, and by strength of the Holy Spirit, doing the Word. And so that's what I want to look at today. How can we better know God? And we're going to today look at the sovereignty of God, because a wise son will embrace the sovereignty of God. And I want to look at this subject of the sovereignty of God in Proverbs as our first theme that we look at as we walk through the book. Now, if you did a word study just in Proverbs and look for the sovereignty of God, you're not going to find it, but it's here. It's through this book, and we need to understand God's sovereignty. We need to know that God is sovereign, and knowing this will help us maneuver through life so we make our Father glad, so we are a wise son. So the sovereignty of God is seen through Proverbs. And it starts really back in Proverbs 3, 19 and 20. So flip back there. Proverbs 3, verse 19. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths were broken up and the clouds dropped down dew. The theme of God's sovereignty is seen throughout Proverbs. We can reinforce it by going to other scripture. We saw in creation the wisdom and knowledge, the sovereignty of God. Genesis 1:1 says what? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How did he do that? Did he have pre-existing material that he made everything out of? How did he create the earth and everything in it? He spoke it into existence out of nothing. Is that power? Is that sovereignty? And we could go to other passages in Scripture, and you look at that six literal days of creation, and everything that he made was created out of nothing. He spoke and it happened. Proverbs 22:2 says, the rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is maker of them all. We can gain a deeper knowledge of God in Psalm chapter 19. Let's go back there. Psalm 19, 1 through 6. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. And God is sovereign. He is in control. Think of the intricate details of this universe. God is the creator of all things. We could take the time this morning. We won't take the time, but Job chapter 38 and 39, Job is questioning God, and God says, where were you when I laid the foundations of the world? And you go through chapter 38 and 39, and he over and over again reminds Job that, hey, I'm in control. I'm in control, not you. I laid the foundations of the world. I created these things. I've created these animals. And so he's sovereign in creation. He's sovereign in his maintenance. Colossians 1, 15 through 18. He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things consist. Everything is held together. He's the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. And so God's the creator of all things, and because he is creator and owner, we're responsible to him. God is sovereign. We're responsible to him. Revelation 4:11, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Why do we exist? What's our purpose? To glorify God. I asked a young man that the other day in my office. I said, why are we here? He says, that's a good question. I've been asking myself that question. And so we went to God's Word. Why do we exist? It's for his glory. That's the purpose. That's why we're here. That's why we're on this planet. And we're responsible to him. So God's creator of all things. We see that God's sovereign because God has a purpose for all things. Even evil has a purpose. Look at Proverbs 16:4. Again, we see the sovereignty of God in this text. The Lord has made all for himself, yes, even the wicked, for the day of doom. Now, I don't believe in double predestination, that God created people just to send them to hell. I don't believe that. But is God in control? When we see evil and we see wickedness, does that mean God lost control? That he's out of control? That he doesn't have control? You know, Les Ole out at Northland used to say, what God doesn't cause, he uses. God's not the author of evil. But when wickedness takes place, when evil takes place, God can use that. It didn't take God by surprise. Acts chapter 2, verse 22, I won't take the time to go there, but wicked men crucified Jesus Christ. Did that take God by surprise? No. In fact, why did Christ come to this earth? To die on a cross to pay the penalty for my sin and for yours. Wicked men, they made a choice, but that didn't throw God for a loop. It was part of his sovereign plan, his sovereign design. You're familiar with Joseph, and Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers. It was an evil act that they did. But what did Joseph say? What was his response to his brothers? What you meant for evil, God meant for good. A wicked situation, an evil situation that God used for good. Joseph was right where God needed him to sustain his people. And so God's sovereignty, did God create robots? Do we make choices? Do we have to make choices? And the answer is yes. We have a free will. And yet God is sovereign. God's in control. And so God has a purpose for all things. When evil things happen, doesn't mean that God's lost control. He's sovereign. A wise son will embrace the sovereignty of God. It's seen here that God controls all things. Proverbs 21, verse 1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes. God controls all things. Rulers. Did it surprise God when Biden was elected as president? Putin's in control in Russia because God allowed it. Netanyahu's in control in Israel because God allowed it. Biden's in the White House because God allowed it. And we look around, and if we had our own way, would things change? But you look at this, and people are in positions of power because God has allowed it. Nebuchadnezzar, remember Nebuchadnezzar, and he's arrogant and proud, and I did this and I did that, and look what I built. And what happens? And next thing, he's eating grass like an ox. Because God's in control. When you look at rulers, and you know, we need to do our part. Should we vote? Absolutely. Should we speak out against evil and wickedness? Absolutely. We have a responsibility to do that. We need to be the voice of reason and integrity and honesty and uprightness. But if I do my part and some delusional, corrupt, ungodly individual occupies an office, can I still have joy? How come? Because God is sovereign. Because God's in control. See, the knowledge of the Holy One, I can still have joy. And I think we should mourn for a nation. We should have righteous anger against sin and wickedness. But it doesn't. I don't have to live in as if I have no hope, because God is sovereign. You know, if I was God, I sit and think, well, I would have done it this way. But I can't even manage my 40 acres. It's a good thing I'm not God. He's in complete control. His purpose will be accomplished in nations, governments, rulers, and you and me. God is in control of all things. Let's look at Proverbs 16, verses 1 and 9, and then we're going to jump to 20, verse 24. The preparations of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Look at verse 9. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Chapter 20, verse 24. A man's steps are of the Lord. How then can a man understand his own way? How many here chose their parents? Did you get to pick your parents or your siblings? How about the home you grew up in? And did you choose someone pulling out in front of you? And 90% of what happens to you in life is going to be because of the choices of someone else. You didn't choose it. But you have a choice on how you respond. And how we respond reflects on our view of God, doesn't it? Our knowledge of the Holy One determines how we will respond to these things that we have no control over. How many here are enjoying the rain? Are you kidding? I've complained about the rain so much in the last 3 weeks. We were camping and it rained every single day. And if it wasn't raining, the wind blew my hair off. And it was so windy, it flooded my boat. The waves crashed over the back. I had to walk it out on the dock. And I complain. Who sent that rain and the wind? Do I have any right to complain about that? Why complain? Because God is sovereign. The amount of rain we get is what an all-wise God has determined. God is sovereign. He controls all things because He knows all things. Proverbs 21:2, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. Proverbs 15:3, we see the sovereignty of God again. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. How about Psalm 139? We'll go outside of the book of Proverbs and see God's sovereignty. Psalm 139:1, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You've hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. He controls everything because He knows everything. God is sovereign. I need to have that knowledge of the Holy One. And you know, God's purpose will be accomplished. God's purpose will be accomplished. God has a permissive will. God didn't create us as a bunch of robots. We make choices. We have intellect, emotion, we have will. We have the ability to choose, and those choices we make will have consequences or benefits. And yes, God's all-knowing and sovereign, but He's given us this free will. At the same time, does it take God by surprise when I make a wrong choice? If I make a wrong choice, does it send God into a tailspin? He's like, oh no, now I have to come up with another plan. And for instance, is it God's will for a believer to marry an unbeliever? According to His Word, what's it say? You should not be unequally yoked. So it's not God's will for a believer to marry an unbeliever. No, say that happens. And they have kids. Now you got the wrong kids, right? So whoever marries them, and the whole world's messed up, right? Somebody's going to marry someone, a wrong someone, because they shouldn't even have been here. And that's the idea that some have, is like, oh no, God's, now what? God's, everything's messed up. God has a permissive will. We choose. We face the consequences and benefits. But it doesn't throw God into a tailspin. I mean, God still has a perfect will. So if I make a wrong choice, it doesn't mess up the entire universe and God's plan. My poor choice doesn't affect His perfect will. Does God need Steve Berg to accomplish his will? You can say it. You won't hurt my feelings. No, he doesn't. He doesn't need me. Praise God, he uses us, right? We get to be part of it. But God can accomplish what he wants to accomplish without me. I want to be part of it. I get to be part of it. But God has a perfect will. And I go back, I think, of James chapter 4, you know, We make these plans, today or tomorrow I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Instead we should be saying, if the Lord wills. If the Lord wills. But God has this perfect will, and Proverbs 19:21 says, there are many plans in a man's heart, nevertheless the Lord's counsel that will stand. I can make plans, but I should be praying for God's will. I do miss out on God's blessing for sure. I miss out on the joy of the good life for sure if I'm not striving to be in the center of God's will. But the counsel of the Lord will stand. Man, principalities, powers, elections can't thwart God's plan. Proverbs 21:30 says, there is no wisdom or understanding or counsel against the Lord. So the knowledge of the Holy One, how important is it for a believer to understand the sovereignty of God? Is that important? It's important for us to grasp it, to understand that God is sovereign, God's in control. Yes, we have a free will. We'll face consequences or benefits of the choices we make. But if we live our life not grasping this, does it affect how we live, how we respond? And that brings us to the so what, the application here. A wise person will recognize the sovereignty of God. We need to grasp this. We need to understand this if we're going to be a wise person. A wise person will understand that God's creator, he's owner, that we exist for God's glory. A wise person will strive to fulfill that purpose. A wise person will recognize that God's sovereign. And if we understand God's sovereignty, what if we go to the doctor, we have a checkup, and the doctor comes out and says the C word. What does God's sovereignty, how does that affect me when we hear that? Or what if there's a knock on the door? And you go to the door and there's a police officer and he says, there's been an accident. Does God's sovereignty, understanding God's sovereignty, does that affect how I respond to that? Or how I move forward in that situation? What if you show up at work and your boss comes up and says, we've cut your position. You no longer have a job. Does it help understanding the sovereignty of God? Does that help us maneuver through life? And so, what does God's sovereignty mean to me? What does God's sovereignty mean to you? What does it mean when we face those situations, and it's our health, our finances, a relationship? Does that affect how we live things out? How we respond? It means that I can have comfort in trials, doesn't it? You following me? Can I have comfort in trials as a believer? Why? Because God's in control. As Kevin read Romans 8, can anything separate you from the love of God? Even if something bad happens to you, and if someone does something that's evil or wicked, I'm not saying that's right and there should be consequences for that person, but can God use that for good in your life? Absolutely. And so understanding, grasping the sovereignty of God means that I can have comfort even in the midst of trials. I don't need to be anxious. I don't need to worry. I do my part. I need to do my part. I need to, and we see this through Proverbs, God is sovereign, but does that mean I don't have to work? God says He'll provide. Does that mean I don't have to work? And Proverbs speaks out against laziness. We do our part. We vote. We pray. We try to make changes and make a difference. But it means that I can have comfort and trust. I don't need to be anxious. I don't need to worry. But no matter the outcome, can I still praise God? Because God is good all the time, right? Even if things don't go the way I want, I praise God no matter what. Praise Him if He heals. Praise Him if He chooses not to heal. Praise Him if all the time, because He is good all the time. God's sovereignty doesn't take away my responsibility to choose wisely, to live with integrity and honesty. But I can be confident, let me go back, I can be confident in God's sovereignty. He will continue to do a good work in us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. I think of that song, "It Is Well With My Soul." And most of you know the story behind that. Horatio Spafford wrote that, and his wife and daughters were crossing the sea, and there was a storm, and his daughters died. His wife sends a message back that the daughters had died, and she alone had survived. And so crossing the sea, they get to that point where his daughters died, and he wrote that song, "It Is Well With My Soul." Whatever my lot, Thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. How could he write that? As a wise son, as a wise child, how could he write it? Because he grasped what? The sovereignty of God. He understood God's sovereignty, that even in this tragedy, God's in control. He can use it for good in His glory. Whatever my lot, Thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. He knew that because God is in control. Therefore, my challenge to you, my challenge to myself, is be diligent in service. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Because God is sovereign, right? God's in control. So be diligent in service. Proverbs 21, 31. The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but deliverance is of the Lord. And be diligent in service. We need to trust in the Lord. But God gave us a brain to use. We need to prepare, plan, work. I have a responsibility. But never, if it'll go, stop trusting in your sovereign God. Never stop trusting. Because no matter what you face, no matter what evil has been done unto you, God is in control. And the knowledge of the Holy One makes a wise son, a wise person. And that makes our Father glad, doesn't it? May we grasp the sovereignty of God. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the book of Proverbs that clearly points out that You're sovereign, You're in control. Lord, may we live in light of that. May we grasp your sovereignty, so that no matter what, we can praise you. No matter what, we'll serve you. No matter what, we have joy, knowing that you're in control, knowing that nothing can separate us from your love. So we thank you, Lord, for your sovereignty, the fact that you are always in control. You always know best. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.